RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Wednesday morning, MP on the mic. What is up? Michael Phillips here. You're listening to 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Let's kick off 5 hours of live and local programming. I'll be on. AWOD Radio will be on. Then after that, we'll go back to D.C. for Grant and Danny, driving you home. And then maybe, possibly, Richmond Flying Squirrels baseball tonight. I say possibly. It's kind of wet out there. We'll see if they play tonight. On the plus side, did not lose yesterday. Squirrels did not extend their 8-game losing streak because they didn't play, because it rained. I got out of here a little early yesterday. I went over, our guy Parney of the Flying Squirrels is launching a podcast, and he said, come over, be on my first podcast. Sure, you don't have to tell me twice. That's a good time. So I go over there, and Will Clark's sitting there. The thrill. Will Clark is also a guest on the podcast, and that's some serious star power right there. That's better than we're pulling.
I am unaware of Will Clark.
So if you were to name famous baseball players, you'd Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, King Griffey Jr., right? Like, you're not
sure
on all of those.
Uh-huh.
Will Clark's right there. Like, he's in that second cut of baseball players that are very famous but not household names.
What a pull.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. he is, like, his numbers retired with the Giants. He won an He won an MVP award. But he's now, I think he got a gold medal at the Olympics too, like before he started his career.
They do baseball?
It's very weird. They do baseball at the Olympics, but because it's in the middle of the summer, Major League Baseball does not let its players play in the Olympics. So it is like the college all-stars. It's just it's just college kids from around, like, from around the world, and whoever says
we don't send any like triple double A.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay,
we should. We should. We should
send the Jackson Holiday up there.
No, we should send the Squirrels as the Olympic baseball team. Here's our team, the Flying Squirrels. Who's that guy? That's Nutsy. He's the mascot. He'll be dancing around while we do this.
And it's just standard baseball.
Very standard baseball, yeah. No modified rules or anything. But it's not considered like the team that wins the Olympics isn't like, this is the world's best baseball playing team. They have an event for that, that they do in February every once in a while. It's also on like a four-year cycle, but it's not Olympic affiliated. It's put on by Major League Baseball at the start of spring training, the World Baseball Classic.
It's like the World Cup.
Very much so.
Okay.
And that one people go nuts over.
Yes.
That's like Japan sending like all their guys, and the Caribbean countries are always very good. Stubbs here, by the way.
Hey.
Stubbs producing the show. What's up, Stubbs? I went to the Dominican World Series once in the Dominican Republic.
Ooh.
Greatest sports experience ever.
I'd buy that.
So good. You would buy that because there are two ticket options at the Dominican World Series. We're in Santo Domingo, at Dominican World Series. My college roommate moved to the Dominican Republic, ended up marrying a girl down there. She was very into baseball. I was visiting them. What do you want to do? I said, I'd love to go to a baseball game. She said, it'd be hard. The World Series is this week. Well, now
it'd be hard.
Now I really want to go to a baseball game. She said, well, it's really expensive. They had two options for tickets to the Dominican World Series. They had a $10 ticket, and for $10, you got a metal bleacher to sit on.
Sure.
So it's hot. It's the Dominican.
Yeah.
But nothing you can't. $10, metal bleacher. Or for $5, you can stand on a slab of concrete with a chain link fence separating you from the rest of the stands. So imagine, like, behind home plate, what would you would consider the best seats? That's metal bleachers. Uh-huh. And there were some like nice seats for the important people. Those were at like, we weren't those people. But then most of the seats were metal bleachers. You pay, but then like kind of at about first base going into the outfield, there were not metal bleachers. There was just the concrete slab. And they put up a chain link fence between the seated people, the bourgeoisie, And everybody else who just like climbing on the fence, yelling, all packed in like a standing room crowd for baseball,
like a concert.
They all exactly like a concert, and they were going nuts for every single pitch, everything like ball, strike. They were losing their mind over it.
That feels like a better experience.
It was fantastic.
So you went slab.
We did not go slab.
Ugh.
Yeah. I wish I had gone slab. I'm going back. We're going slab. We'll do the show live from the slab during next year's Dominican Series. I was explaining this. Manny Acta was the manager of the Nationals when I worked for the Nationals up there in D.C. And he's Dominican. And I was explaining this to him. And he goes, oh, yeah, were you on the slab? Oh, man. I missed. No, I got fancy. I sprung the extra $5 for a metal bleacher seat. So I didn't know what was going to happen in the slab. Go, no, the slab's great. You got to do the slab. He said, did you have the hot dog? I said, yeah, I had the hot dog. I was a little weirded out. He said, by the mayo? I said, yeah, by the mayo. He said, that's what we do. Hot dog, ketchup, mayo.
Okay. That's, no, I can rock with that. That's not too unique.
I'll reiterate. It was very warm outside.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I don't know that they're following 100% of all food safety protocols. You know, the guy didn't have his A rating from the health department there.
No, okay.
He's just walking around with hot dogs and
like,
a squeezer of mayonnaise.
Like, not, you didn't get it from a stand. Like, a guy's walking.
Yeah, it's a roving vendor situation. Freshness not guaranteed. I live to tell the tale. And Dominican World Series, it was fantastic. Will Clark was in town. He was on the Parney podcast, which is coming out next Wednesday. It takes them a whole week to produce a podcast stuff. We just talk and it's out there. There's no filter here.
There's a little producing.
There's a little producing.
I spend about 15 minutes on an Adam podcast.
There you go. Polish. Put a little polish on it. We put out a podcast too, MP on the Mic. Search it on all major podcast platforms. Good time to tell you. We're live on the Odyssey app as well. That's the one with the rewind button. We got a lot to get to today. It is, at long last, NFL schedule release day, which I know you've all been waiting for. The day has arrived. We will find out the NFL schedule. Now, you are watching what I believe to be the greatest schedule release video of all time. What's funny about this, and if you don't know, you should, it's the Tennessee Titans schedule release video last year, where they went down to Broadway in Nashville, where they have all the bachelorette parties, and they asked them to identify the team names by logo. And everybody misses wildly and hysterically. There are two great things about this. One is that was a play on They had the NFL draft in Nashville like 3 years ago, and they took over Broadway. And there's an all-timer of a local news segment from Nashville. Bachelorette Party's unhappy NFL draft is being held. And they were interviewing these brides who were walking around with like their crews. Like, we did not know the NFL draft would be here. Can't they pick somewhere else to do it? This is our bachelorette party, and now it's ruined. And now we don't know what to do because we're going into these bars and it's a bunch of football fans.
It's a tough world. I've been to Nashville once, and it sure is Bachelorette Party City.
It really is.
Every bus, every restaurant you walk in, you see pink cowboy hats.
You got to be known for something. You got to be known.
Well, they're
for
known
something.
For music. I think they got like they can have music.
Sure, they've got country music. They've got the Opry. They've got all the things. But that's all. Like if you're holding a bachelorette party, you're either going like Cancun and Nashville. Those are your available options.
Nowhere else.
Is there a bachelor party equivalent? My gut says Vegas, but
I would say Vegas is the most. Or like Atlantic City, maybe. You got a little less money.
Probably more so back in the day.
Maybe.
Maybe 20 years ago, Atlantic City. See, the big thing was that was the only place you could gamble. Now they got Rosie's in our neighborhood. Like, nobody's lacking for gambling options right now.
Yeah, but if you want to travel somewhere and gamble.
Yes.
But not Vegas.
Yes.
I think that would be the second choice.
That's the East Coast alternative. Yeah. Maybe Richmond could come up with something. Maybe Richmond could become the East Coast.
We should have a vote for a
Richmond Reel.
For a casino.
I love it. Schedule release day. The NFL just announced the two Christmas Day games will stream exclusively on Netflix. First time Netflix has broadcast NFL games. So we now have games this year exclusively streaming on Peacock, Amazon Prime, Netflix, and ESPN Plus. We have four streaming companies that will have exclusive NFL games this year.
At least everyone has Netflix.
You and Adam took it on yesterday. We're back to cable.
We're back to cable.
We're bundling it all up. Buy all the streaming services at a set price. We're back to cable.
I'm cool with that.
I am anti-streaming games because I am a channel surfer, and you cannot channel surf on streaming. I'm watching a movie on Netflix or an episode. That's fine. I don't want to channel surf. I don't want to be distracted. I'm watching a football game. I'd like to bounce in and out. I'm not invested in. I want to watch every single second of that thing. Netflix tweet: you can't spell Netflix without NFL.
Sure.
It's in there. It adds up. I don't like the Christmas Day game. That's all right. We'll break down who the Commanders are playing. Commanders had mini camp yesterday. We've got the sound. Everybody talked. Everybody weighed in. 100% perfect attendance at Commanders mini camp. But when we come back, we talk a lot about college sports, major upheavals in the world of college sports. It struck close to home yesterday. UR football has a new home. We'll tell you about it. We'll tell you what it means. We're off and running. It's the Wednesday edition of MP on the Mic. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 10:15 on a Wednesday morning, MP on the Mic. We'll give you your chance to win Richmond Flying Squirrels tickets here in a minute. It feels like we've been lucky this year. Squirrels haven't had too many rain delays, rain outs. That all changed last night, might change today as well. If the Squirrels play tonight, you'll hear it right here on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. First pitch 6:35 out at the Diamond. We've got Odyssey Night coming up out at the Diamond on May 29th. That's in exactly 2 weeks on a Wednesday night. We'll give away tickets to that later in today's program. But I told you the Richmond Spiders were on the move. Now, the Spiders play basketball in the A-10 with VCU. That's not going to change. They're still an Atlantic 10 Conference member. But the A-10 doesn't do football, and UR does. They're switching football conferences starting next year. So they'll play this season. Starting next year, they're moving out of the CAA and into the Patriot League. I like this move for the Richmond Spiders. I understand why people are going to flinch when they hear about it. So the CAA was, for a long time, the gold standard of second-tier football, right? So you got your 1A and your 1AA. They call it the FBS and the FCS, which they're going to have to rename that because the FBS had bowls and the FCS had a playoff. But now the FBS has a playoff as well. And you can't name them both FCS. I don't know what they're going to do about that. What matters is, this is the second tier. CAA was the gold standard. James Madison, obviously, was in it for a long time. You know William and Mary's in it as well, all the way on down. But the CAA has transformed in recent years, and it's geographically very spread out now. It's up to Maine. Maine's in it all the way down. You got North Carolina A&T, Stony Brook, Hampton, Albany, Campbell, Delaware, Elon, right? So it's not what it used to be in terms of it being primarily a regional thing. The Patriot League is a step down from the CAA. It's still part of the championship subdivision, but none of its teams have been contenders in a while. But in terms of geographic accessibility and schools that are more small private schools that focus on academics, it's a better fit. Georgetown's in there. Bucknell's in there. Fordham, Colgate, schools of that nature, right? So the football competition's not as intense. To me, the benefit of UR hanging around was always in the CAA was always they got to play JMU, William & Mary. They got to play ODU for a minute there before they bounced up to a higher level. It was fun because it was Virginia-based rivalries. If you're not going to play at that level, you're either chasing the buck or you're not chasing the buck. And if you're chasing the buck right now, you want to go up and play with the big boys. That's what JMU did. That's what Old Dominion did, obviously. If you're not chasing the buck, you don't want to be spending the buck traveling all over the East Coast to play second-tier football. You don't want to be flying a football team of 80 guys up to Maine, spending two nights in hotels to play second-tier football against Maine that's not on television. So you got two choices there. I think the Spiders made the right one. Everybody, well, you got it. There's so much money in football. You got to chase the money. There's money in football if you're at the top of the pyramid. There's not a lot of money in football for the middle of the pyramid. JMU's learning that lesson. JMU plays really good football, hangs with anybody. Their budget is a fraction of Virginia Tech's football budget. Their budget is a sliver of UVA's football budget. And that's not going to change anytime soon, barring major realignment or them getting invited, you know, another level up. I like the decision by UR. I don't think this heralds any kind of basketball move coming anytime soon. I think they're good in the A-10. As long as they got Chris Mooney, they'll be competitive in the A-10. I think they're fielding a really good roster again this year. They won in the portal again. They're big winners in the portal every year, it feels like. People slept on that last year, me included. Picked to finish 11th, end up at the top of the league. I think they'll stay in the A-10 and funnel those resources into basketball. Football, niche sport at Richmond, right? They have a small stadium. They draw small crowds. It's not worth chasing that buck. It's not James Madison where you got 25,000 seats, where you got a big school you can draw from. You know, students go wild for it. It's best to stick, you know, what TLC said, stick to the rivers and lakes you're used to. That's the advice for University of Richmond football. I think this is football only. I don't think this will translate into basketball. But we'll keep an eye on it. The ever changing college sports landscape shifts and changes once again. Had a little college football news yesterday. Stealing the NFL's thunder.
Ugh, on how dare they?
On schedule release week of all times.
The most important week in the NFL.
Thank you for acknowledging that. They released the college football start times for opening week of college football. Now, opening week into college football is a week before the NFL. So we're at least not trampling on the sanctity
Ooh, thank goodness.
Of the NFL week one schedule. Here are your marquee games week one college football season. There's always some bangers week one of college football season. Georgia takes on Clemson at noon. Miami against Florida at 3:30, and then your headliner week one, Notre Dame, Texas A&M at 7:30 p.m. What's wild to me, I saw Georgia Clemson as the undercard of that, the first one. I was like, whoa, that's a little disrespect there. Like, Georgia Clemson, that's a game. But then as I thought, like, Georgia's going to beat them by 40. Clemson's faded. They're not title contender caliber anymore. Georgia's number one in the country every year for most of the year. That could actually be the worst of the three games.
They had their basketball fun. They need to get humbled a little bit. It's a give and take.
It's a give and it's a take. Can't fill up both cups. Something's got to give. Unless you go to the University of Kansas, where the football team is picked to finish third in the Big 12 this year. I don't even know what that's like. We've been picked to finish 12th in the Big 12 for so long. This is a startling turn of events.
Good for them.
Maybe the basketball team will start sucking. I don't know. Something's got to give as Stubnow. You can't be good at both.
Can't be good at both.
It's unfair. It's unfair to the rest of to everybody else. Miami, Florida, that one actually has a big determination on the Hokies-Miami game week four, because this is a big test for Miami taking on an SEC team in Florida. They won't be favored in this. If they could win it, though, you could have undefeated Miami against undefeated Virginia Tech a month into the season. So if we could get Miami across the finish line there in the swamp, that would be a big development for the juice of the Virginia Tech season, which would be a ton of fun. Then your nightcap, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, which of course would be a great game. New coach down there in College Station for the Aggies. All right, let's go to the rink. You know I've been saying it, the best hockey's been played after you go to sleep. Last night was no different. Canucks Oilers, Vancouver at Edmonton, 2-1. Canucks looking to get a lead on the series, tied it up 2-2. The Oilers strike back in the final minutes.
45 seconds to go. We're tied at 2. Draisaitl behind the Vancouver net. Send it out front. Bouchard, a shot. Score! 3-2 Edmonton! 38 seconds to play!
There you go. That's what we tune in to playoff hockey for right there. That's the good stuff. Less than a minute to go. Home win, home ice. Edmonton sends it back, knotted up. 2-2, Connor McDavid, he's the best player in the game right now. Would love to see him on national TV in a Western Conference final, in a Stanley Cup matchup, get a chance for the rest of the world to see just how good he is. Bruins forced a game 6 against the Panthers. Panthers were up 3-1 in that series. Bruins walk away with a 2-1 win in Florida. We'll get to the NBA in a bit. We'll get to the Knicks claiming a 3-2 lead over the Pacers. But part of NFL schedule release day, Stub, is you got to be on your toes at all times.
Schedule could release.
The news comes fast and furious. This is schedule adjacent news.
Okay.
From our friends at Max, which is what they call
HBO Max.
Which is what they call HBO okay. Now. Do they call it HBO Max?
Or no, they dropped it.
I think they dropped HBO. I think it's just Max.
Just Max, and it's blue now. It's not purple.
Premiering July 2nd, Hard Knocks with the New York Giants. But in a twist, it's not just training camp with the New York Giants. They are spotlighting the entire offseason, including following around the front office through the NFL draft. So Hard Knocks,
ooh.
NFL draft. You'll be in the room.
I'm intrigued by that.
In the room with the New York Giants on draft day. They had an interesting one, too, because they were drafting early enough they could have gotten a quarterback, but they opted not to. They took the receiver. They took Malik Nabers, and they're going to ride with Daniel Jones for another year.
I think a lot of people, myself included, view the draft through the film Draft Day, starring Kevin Costner. This might be a more clear... This might kind of lower my like expectations of what's going on in those rooms when it's real life.
It could also ramp it up. What I want to know is, because a lot of the draft is they're on the phone with the other teams,
yeah,
the give and take of the trades. Will we hear both sides, or will we just hear one side? Because there's, anytime you get those clips, you're like, this is good stuff. I want to hear both sides of the phone call. Like, if you're the Commanders GM and you call up the Giants, like, do you hear, this call may be monitored for HBO Max television. Your call is being connected. Yeah, you got to let him know.
Yeah, or
you can't just sneak it on him and put it on national TV.
Well, you got to, because that might kill your trade chances.
That's
if
what
they
I'm
know
saying.
They're on the phone.
That's what I'm saying. If they know the phone line's bugged, you're not training with anybody at that point.
Maybe you tell them after.
I like that. Get a little.
Hey, we recorded you. Can we use it?
Retroactive permission. I like that. That works for me. I'm good with that. Want to stick in college sports a little bit on the other side of the break. The Maui Invitational, signature event in the college basketball schedule. It's on the ropes. We'll tell you why. It's because of a lot of the changes in college basketball. Maui Invitational may need to reinvent itself to stay alive. And I want to weigh in on this Doug Gottlieb situation. Everybody else in America has. I'm a radio host. I don't think I could coach a basketball team, but weigh in on what Doug Gottlieb's going to do. Caitlin Clark made her WNBA debut last night. 20 points, 10 turnovers. You'll hear from her as the show rolls on. It's the Wednesday edition. It's MP on the mic. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Rolling right along, we are a quarter of the way through. The glass is three quarters empty at this point. Let's fill it up with some sports talk. It's MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Flying Squirrels did not play last night. Rain out, not looking promising at the moment for today. If they do play, you'll hear it right here on The Fan. If they play, they'll get a chance to snap an 8-game losing streak against the Reading Phillies. If not, doubleheader Thursday, two chances to snap that 8-game losing streak. We'll get them on the positive side of the column. And then Friday, got that special noon first pitch on Friday, businessman special out there at the ballpark. Only businessman I know benefiting from this is AWOD. Doesn't have to do a radio show. It's good to be AWOD. It's good to be AWOD. Less great to be MP. I got to do the show, then hustle out to the diamond.
Well, I got
to
do your show and the Squirrels game.
Stubbs always getting the short end of the stick around here. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Washington Nationals had a double dip against the Chicago White Sox last night. Won the first game 6-3. Here's Joey Meneses.
Now the pitch. Breaking ball pulled to the ground toward the hole, through a base hit left field. Abrams scores. Rosario around third. He will score. There will be no throw. Benintendi bounces the ball into second base. Joey Meneses is 3-for-3 with three singles, taking that one through the hole into left field. And he drives in his 20th and 21st runs of the year. And the Nationals put up a crooked number here in the top of the fifth. Immediately cash in on the ill-advised throw by the right fielder Sheets. Two-run single for Meneses, and it's now the Nationals 3 and the White Sox 1.
They lost the nightcap, so they're back below 500, 19-20, your Washington Nationals record. I think if you had offered people that before the season, they would have hustled to sign on that dotted line. One game below 500, 40th game of the season today as the Nats play in Chicago. 2:10 p.m., another day game out there in Chicago. We love day baseball. See if the Nats can get back to 500. But the big story, to me, East Coast big story, Juan Soto's been raking for the Yankees, and he continued that last night. Big story on the West Coast, Shohei Ohtani, who, let me just remind you, had Tommy John surgery this offseason and had a giant international scandal involving his translator, who was placing millions of dollars of bets on sports, has been unstoppable at the plate this season, and he got the job done last night, too.
Looking for their first hit of this one as Shohei Ohtani faces off with Keaton Wynn. And hits it high, hits it deep, towards the ocean! Gone! Dodgers take the lead and a mammoth home run from Shohei Ohtani.
12th of the season, he's hitting .361 this year. Dodgers defeat the Giants 10-2. Out there in San Francisco. Shohei Ohtani, look, we know he's good. We know he's a great player. Doing it in light of a new team, a new contract, a controversial contract, by the way, that defers all the money until after he retires.
Oh, yeah.
A bookie gambling scandal, and his arm's so messed up he can't pitch. All of that, and he's still dominating Major League Baseball right now. That's when you're a special talent right there. That's when you know you're good at this.
A little bit's got to be out of spite.
You think he flipped into FU mode, like, because of the gambling scandal?
He's got to deal with all this.
He's dealing with a lot.
It's like, if I'm so good at baseball, people will get over it.
There's a theory that Rory McIlroy, golfer, who has not won in a while, is about to win this weekend at the PGA Championship. So two news items on Rory McIlroy this week. One, he was the guy who's like, I'll never take the Saudis' money. I'm not going to the LIV Tour. And then the PGA stabbed him in the back by cutting the deal with the LIV Tour. So he ended up not making the Saudi money and they're going to end up merging with them. And he got kicked off of the PGA lawmaking board over the whole thing because the PGA is like, now we're going to get in bed with the Saudis anyway. So that whole thing flared up. One of the golfers who's like on the advisory board offered him a spot on it. And then there was like this whole kerfuffle and he had to decline it. So he's in a bad spot. Then also filed for divorce this week. So he's got a lot going on in his life. So golf Twitter is like, well, obviously he's going to F you. Let's go play some golf, right? Like the out of spite thing.
That, coming back from a kerfuffle.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, watch out for the kerfuffles. That's how you know where the action's going to be next. Exactly. Just the spite win at a golf tournament. I think of baseball as more of a spite-driven success sport.
I think it's spite is one of the greatest motivators of we.
Sure.
I'm at my best when I'm spiteful.
In baseball, you're trying to mash the ball. Like in golf, you can over-focus. You know it, but maybe he's going to be that dialed in.
Yeah.
PGA Championship is a good week. Good week for the PGA Championship, right in the middle of all sure. that stuff. There, he wins. He walks off with the Saudis to $1 million check. Take that. Spite is absolutely one of the most powerful forces in sport. No question.
Yeah, football. That's a good. You can get some power behind spite.
No doubt. We were talking about the lacrosse thing the other week. Duke lacrosse has beaten UVA lacrosse for like 10 years in a row, and I'm actually under exaggerating the number. They've truly beaten them every time they've played because of spite over events that happened like 15 years ago. Yeah, it's most powerful force in sports, not particularly close.
It's like Tech anytime they play football against UVA.
Oh, this year in particular, because I did a whole segment on this. UVA didn't realize it was a rivalry. Like they're showing up like, it's a lovely day in Charlottesville. The leaves are turning. Let's play some football. And Tech was like, we will pound you into the ground and rub your faces in the
Doesn't
mud.
Doesn't matter how bad of a season Tech had. It's the only game they care about.
Did UVA not know that was going to happen? How do you not know that's going to happen? That's the whole... They announce it. They're not playing coy about it. They're very open about how important this game is to them. That blew my mind. A little UVA football news came across the wire here 7 minutes ago. Next year, they will play NC State as a non-conference game. So those are both ACC teams, but they both need a game for next fall. So they will play each other in Raleigh. It will not count as an ACC conference game. So two ACC teams will play each other, non-conference game.
That's lame.
Sure.
Find some tier four school. to score 70 points on instead.
Yeah, you need wins. You need wins. I get fans want to see the NC States of the world and the big names of the world. You got to win. At a certain point, you just got to
play Richmond or something.
Play Richmond. Patriot League power. The Richmond Spiders.
Yeah.
They're going to push around the Patriot League. I'm just calling that right now. They're going to dominate the Patriot League spite. There you go. Let's save the NBA for the next segment, but let's go to Caitlin Clark because that was the big story of the night last night in sports. Caitlin Clark, WNBA debut. She was not set up for success team-wise. The Indiana Fever is not picked to do much in the WNBA. They were in Connecticut playing the Sun, which is a perennial WNBA power. That's about how it went. It was close until it wasn't. The Sun pulled away in the fourth quarter, 92-71. The big item, of course, Caitlin Clark. 20 points on an uneven night shooting, 10 turnovers is certainly going to be the headliner out of her score line. Here's what she had to say about it.
I think just going day by day and trying to do the best you can no matter what. Obviously, you know, I would have liked to play a little better tonight. I think all of us would say that if we were all sitting up here. And as a team, collectively, we would have liked to play better and shown a better product because I thought we've had some really good practices leading up to this game. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, learn from it, move on. You know, things are going to come fast. That's how it is. This season goes fast. There's 39 games left and plenty of opportunities to do what we want to do. But like Coach said, like you have to be able to learn and watch it. And, you know, that's the way to get better because there's only going to be so much we can do on the court tomorrow before we play the Liberty at home.
Yeah, things don't get any easier for Caitlin Clark from here. Pair of games against the New York Liberty, also one of the league's best teams. The schedule makers doing no favors. Your first four Sun, Liberty, Liberty, Sun. They could be 0-4 out of the gate there, Caitlin Clarkson. I was watching him. I was at a Penny Lane pub last night.
My favorite British pub in Richmond.
Number one. Number one among British pubs in Richmond. No question. We got there about 5:30, and the newspaper's right there, so we would go there all the time. I know the waitresses and the bartender, and I thought, well, it's a good thing you didn't come earlier. This place was slammed for the game. Apparently there was a soccer game of some note yesterday.
British.
If you're into that, AWOD Radio starts at noon. AWOD Radio noon to 3. He'll catch you up on the game. Whatever the game was.
Premier League, pretty sure.
You'll find out during AWOD Radio, noon to 3 daily. But I was watching it, and it's very clear they're coming for Caitlin Clark, right? Everybody on every other team is going to make themselves a name this year by shutting down Caitlin Clark. And she'll be fine. 20 points is nothing to shake a stick at.
Led the team.
20 points. But they're coming for her night in, night out. That much was very obvious. I will say, closer to home, maybe we need to jump on the Mystics bandwagon by low here. I talked to my guy up there who works with the Mystics. He said, yeah, we're not going to be any good this year. But then they were leading yesterday. The New York Liberty, the aforementioned New York Liberty, gave it all back in the fourth quarter.
Classic Washington basketball.
Gave it all back.
Some things never change.
The names change. The names on the jersey change. The concept remains the same. But you pointed out star-studded crowd.
Yeah, Jason Sudeikis.
Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
In the crowd. That surprised. He was at all of Caitlin Clark's games in the NCAA tournament. This is a phenomenal branding move by Jason Sudeikis. Number one.
The WNBA guy.
Number one WNBA courtside. Like Spike Lee for the Knicks, Jack Nicholson for the Lakers. It's a big women's game. Hey, there's Jason Sudeikis. Number one fan. But he's buying low, but not so low that he's got to like slog through three seasons of nobody noticing him while these games are on streaming. Like these games are on broadcast now. He's catching this at exactly the right time.
It's a business move.
Ted Lasso, baby.
/ maybe he just has a good, he probably just having a good time.
I'm sure he's having a good time. Also a heck of a business move right there. There you go. WNBA recap. We'll keep an eye on the Mystics. If they show signs of life, we'll get on the Mystics bandwagon. I'm tentatively dipping a toe in, but I've been told stay away from may not be the Mystics year. That's all right. Maybe this be the Wizards year. David Aldridge wrote a great column the other day. I'll dive into this probably in tomorrow's show. Said just take Donovan Clingan, the Connecticut kid. Don't worry about being number two. Just take the guy you want to take, because that's the guy who's got all the buzz around him. I was intrigued by that. All right, we got to step aside. There was also a famous fan at the NBA game last night. You're going to want to hear this. More MP on the mic on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 10:49, Wednesday. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, live worldwide on the Odyssey app. You'll want to listen during the 11 o'clock hour. First, because we're going to start the 11 o'clock hour with our guy Ben Standig from The Athletic. And he was there yesterday for Commanders OTA practice, so we'll get the scoop from the source. Secondly, we're going to give away Flying Squirrels tickets later in the hour. As you know, 910 The Fan is your home for Richmond Flying Squirrels baseball. Dive into this NBA in just a second. But first, the hearing is now underway on Capitol Hill, the RFK Stadium hearing. And our guy, Senator Steve Daines from Montana. I'm not going to play the sound clip because we're giving this guy too much attention as it is. He has arrived with props. He's got props. He's got an old Redskins helmet and big
got like a trifold
poster, the big poster boards with the old logos on it. This is partially our fault, our being the sports media industrial complex, because what these politicians have learned is that we have 12 hours of radio to fill every day, and we will fill it. That's why, right, every time we have one of these political things, there's always somebody who jumped in, like, he was on Grant and Danny for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's a U.S. senator. He can't get 20 minutes on C-SPAN or on Fox News or on CNN. No. They give you, like, 10 seconds on those places. And then they go to their panel. We give
time freely.
As a local
sports radio show, you're going to go, oh, a senator?
And they love attention. The politicians do. I mean, they are in this for the attention. He has realized, bring in the props, we're going to talk about this. He's going to get attention. He's going to be on Sports Talk
Radio.
So
you know you're falling into the trap, but you're still... You're still going feet first.
I just want the stadium at RFK. Why does this have to be so difficult? Is that stop talking about the old name. Just put the stadium at RFK. Let the rest sort itself out. We have adults in the room now. They're in charge. Let the adults be in charge. Here I am in the holdout. Let's climb out of the hole. Let's talk about the NBA. Because the NBA was happening last night. I saw the pregame line. Knicks by 2. I said, oh, that's a trap line. They want you on the Knicks side. The Knicks should be favored by more than 2. It means people were betting the Pacers coming off of 2 blowout wins. I get that. I said, no. Knicks at the Garden? No, I didn't see this coming. 121-91. 30-point romp for the New York Knicks. And we all agree the playoffs are better with the Knicks in it. Pacers coach Rick Carlisle coming off of a couple of wins. Last time we heard from Rick Carlisle, he was saying, momentum's not real. It doesn't exist. He was proven correct. Here's what he had to say after last night's game.
Sorry, what number?
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Let's go to 5, Jalen Brunson. We'll focus on the Knicks. We'll go to Jalen Brunson here, Knicks 30-point winners last night.
It was big time, and they played really well back in Indiana, put us on our heels, and just we needed to respond. And so just doing what we do and sticking to our values, our core principles, and just doing the things that we do that help us be successful.
All right, now I think a lot of this success, too, is because they had a celebrity sitting courtside, and I'm not talking about Spike Lee, who runs the Garden normally. Our guy, Tracy Morgan, was courtside last night. And is this from the TV broadcast?
Yeah.
They interviewed him. They do that.
They
interview the celebrities courtside on TV. Here's his take on the Knicks dominating.
Let me tell you something, Draymond. I love you like cooked food. I love you like the fat kid love cake. Don't talk crap about my team. This is New York City, kid. This is the home of King Kong. This is where he died, okay? The Warriors just filmed there, okay? This is how we get down. This is New York City.
He can't hear you.
Don't talk crap about my team, Draymond. I love you. Peace.
We made King Kong, and then we killed King Kong. Greatest city in the world. In New York.
This is his home. This is where he died.
We built King Kong, and we tore him down. Don't you ever forget that. Say we're not the greatest city in the whole friggin' world. Let's go. I would watch. They do the Manning cast. I would watch
the Morgan cast.
Infinitely more NBA if it was just him providing courtside commentary. He's so, and we were just talking about 30 Rock,
yeah,
which is one of the all timers as well.
He feels unscripted in that.
You get the sense they never once wrote a line for him. They just left the Tracy Jordan blank. He'll figure it out. He'll figure it out as we go. The rest will take care of itself. Just tee him up. Give him a line. He's my new choice for an NBA on NBC analyst. He's vaulted over Shaq to be my number one choice for analyst. Late game Nuggets 112 Timberwolves 97. The Nuggets up 3-2. You hesitate to draw conclusions from a game 5 because we're going right back for a game 6 in Minnesota, in Indianapolis. Anything could happen in those. Would love to see some game 7s because it's been some phenomenal series. Tonight, Mavericks Thunder game 5. We'll see which way that series tilts. It's at 2-2. Celtics with a chance to finish off the Cavaliers. I always enjoy famous people kind of inadvertently becoming memes. LeBron was at the game in Cleveland, brought a whole bottle of wine out with him courtside, then left early when the Cavs were leaving. Well,
how much wine to get through?
The questions that matter. These are the things that matter. We're coming back. We're doing another hour of MP on the mic. Ben Standig joins us from The Athletic. We'll talk all things Commanders. Haven't done a lot of that in hour number one, so we'll play you some clips from Commanders mini camp, tell you who stood out yesterday. All that on the other side of this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Hour number two underway. MP on the mic. Our next guest dabbles in college hoops. We'll pass along Marquette and Maryland. Going to play a home and home this year in college hoops. That'd be good. College Park, November 15th. That'd be worth going up to, especially if that's if we get. I'm looking up what day that is because I'm not prepared for this. It's a Friday, yes. Yeah, so that doesn't interfere with Commander's duty. These are the important things. We don't have a schedule yet, though. We'll see. Ben Standig from The Athletic, as promised. You know the podcast, The Standig Room Only, which is always a ton of fun and very informative. He was out there in the rain yesterday so that I could stay dry in here. We appreciate that. Ben, good morning. What's up?
Mr. Phillips, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thanks for coming on. It was day one, 100% attendance on the field, OTAs. Was there anything you were hoping to see yesterday or were excited to see yesterday that you got to see?
Well, I was hoping for sun and no rain. That didn't happen. Off the bat, tough break. It was good. Look, every time we see Jaden Daniels out there, it's interesting just to get any sense as to what's going to happen. We're obviously all going to chronicle his every step, literally every move and his progression. So seeing him out there after the rookie camp and then with the vets was good. I mean, look, as you know, you have to sort of rein in what you see because, no pads, no hitting. Everybody in shorts, it's not real, but at the same time, we haven't watched football for so long in person that it's like, oh, that's pretty interesting. So just seeing Jaden Daniels constantly is a good thing. And then obviously with him means you're watching the pass catchers. So getting a look at, Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, you got Luke McCaffrey now, the third round pick, kind of feels like he's positioned to have a pretty prominent role just based on the pieces in that room. So I think those are the things that, stand out the most. It's just, for the defense and the offensive line, it's just going to be, we're probably going to have to wait till training camp to see a lot. But the offensive pieces are sort of the intriguing part right now.
Ben Standig was out there yesterday at the practice and I'll take any scraps I can get this time of year, but we're not making big conclusions across the board, sweeping conclusions. I am intrigued, though, by the tight end group. And I'm curious if you think, can Zach Ertz be, in every down, get regular snaps guy? Is he, for lack of a more graceful term, too old for that? Is there a path to the field for Ben Sinnott? How do you see that shaken out?
Yeah, it does kind of all start with Zach Ertz because he's the new Logan Thomas, the vet in the room, otherwise occupied by a bunch of younger players. Can he stay healthy, I guess, is going to be the big question.
Yeah.
The fact that at the end of last year, right, the Detroit Lions picked him up when he was available, put him on their practice squad, and then never used him during their run, into the playoffs. I mean, it kind of says something to me about where he's at. I mean, the Lions actually had pretty good tight end, so not to say they needed him, but it's like, all right, well, you didn't even feel compelled to activate him when you're in the playoffs. So it says something to me, but at the same point, Ertz was with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona for a little bit. He's been a highly productive tight end for a lot of his career, and I just don't know. You've obviously know this team. Like Logan Thomas, after his injury, was fine, but not great. And I don't know that they've made an upgrade here with Ertz. I think the fun one to wonder is where things are at with Ben Sinnott. They obviously spent a second round pick on him. He's a really versatile tight end who can sort of play an H-back role, pass catching role. Adam Peters obviously has a lot of interest in him. How quickly is he able to adjust? If he's able to show something quickly, then he may end up being, at parts of the season, the main one. But, you've got John Bates as a blocker, Armani Rogers coming off an Achilles injury, but he showed some good promise before that. And Cole Turner, who basically has been a bit of a – Cole Turner is why I'm reminding myself not to get caught up in the OTA hype.
Yes.
Because the last 2 years, he looked pretty good as a guy who could catch the ball, good size, and then he's done not much at all. When the games turn real. So it's an interesting room. I don't still have a ton of hype for it, but like we'll see what the Ben Sinnott part is, and if you know Zach Ertz can you know still have something there to provide.
I think at some point they're going to have to put Bates in just as an extra blocker too, just to make up for at least what I perceive to be an inadequate set of offensive tackles, at least for the moment.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's, again, you know, there's so much new here. Cliff Kingsbury's offense, you know, a lot of teams are going with, you know, a three receiver look, and that's fair. Kingsbury historically has gone, you know, that and then some with some of his teams, but the, you know, the wide receiver room, like I said, you get past Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, and now it's Luke McCaffrey and, you know, Zacchaeus, who they signed away from, he was with the Eagles last year. He caught 40 passes a couple years ago, and he's got sort of that speed that you could imagine would be appealing to Kingsbury. But to your point, rookie quarterback, the receivers are not that, don't seem that dynamic. Aren't you better off perhaps going with the, you know, the two tight end set with Bates, or even having Bates as just the main tight end? But yeah, you know, to help block for Jaden Daniels, to help, you know, Cornelius Lucas perhaps, or Andrew Wiley as well. So yeah, I mean, I can see two tight end or Bates out there a bunch, no doubt about it.
No doubt. Ben Standing, Standing Room Only podcast, The Athletic, which is now kind of the New York Times. I see your name on the New York Times bylines. I'm like, man, that guy's going places. I also wanted to ask you, the media room's closed up there. We need to get to the important things here. Are they finally adding the full-service coffee bar like we've been putting in the comment box for years? Is that what we're doing there?
Well, they actually have upgraded the kitchen. This is very inside baseball, but they've basically divided the room that we had. Half the room is now for employees. Their social media team basically has now moved into our space. Our room has got cut in half, but because these people are in there all the time, there's a coffee machine in there, like sort of, I think it's like the Keurig cup type one. I think it's more like that. But then like the refrigerator is completely full with actual like soda. We don't have to like, you know, Lord of the Flies it for the last bottle of water anymore, I don't think. So yeah, so some of that's upgraded. I'm sure they're going to absolutely love us being there in their space as well. That'll be fun for everybody. But yeah, it's a tighter room, a different room, but they haven't finished everything yet, so we'll see what it looks like once we get back in there.
Well, and we still got to go do our log lifting team building activity too, so we'll see who survives that, see how big we need the room to be. All right, Ben Standing joins us from The Athletic, from the Standing Room Only podcast. I feel like we have to do stadium talk just because it's in the news right now, and even outside of this manufactured name controversy that's designed to get our friend the senator on television. Do you have a revised pecking order and where you think this thing's going to go? Have the events of the past couple months, hiring lobbyists, getting through the House, has that changed your mind on RFK at all? Where do you stand on where this Commander Stadium seems to be headed?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, like I've been firmly on Maryland this whole time. I mean, understanding RFK is the preferred choice for those, you know, wanting nostalgia or just simply wanting the NFL team to be in the nation's capital, right? I mean, that's Roger Goodell, I think, wants that. It makes a lot of sense when you think of the, you know, the aerial shots of a game, or if they want to get, you know, if the city wants to get an Olympics or things like that. But my wonder has always been, is DC prepared to spend the money for another stadium when this one is at a, you know, an NFL stadium is not one that's going to have nearly the amount of dates the way the NBA NHL arena does, the baseball stadium does. But that was even before they spent a ton of money to keep the Wizards and the Capitals in D.C. I just really wonder if there's going to be somebody's going to have enough, there'll be a stomach to have to spend that kind of money. I'll assume always that they can find the money, but do they want to spend it on top of everything else? Obviously, D.C., like every big city, has a lot of concerns and ways to spend the money on a more practical level. So I'm still sort of staying there, but, you know, look, if the owners want it and the mayor wants it, you can't write off the possibility. I've kind of ruled off Virginia at this point, especially after what just happened with the Monumental Sports debacle. But I'm staying on Maryland. You know, like I said, if for no other reason, that DC just spent this extra money, and you got to wonder how much that's going to affect even people who want the stadium. You know, at some point, you have to look at the numbers and say, I don't know if we can do this. But yeah. I know you're. I know you're a more DC kind of a guy. Still the same, right?
My initial chips were on Virginia, and I have moved them. I also have moved my chips off of the Virginia Square in light of the monumental debacle. It's hard to sell. Like, let's try to run up this hill again when it's the same people involved. My chips are moving to RFK, though, notwithstanding whatever theater is taking place today. Sure feels like the ownership group really wants to make that work. But you're correct. As we continue to note, who knows? It just wanting it may not be good enough in this particular instance.
Yeah, I certainly paid. What's happening on the hill today, like you said, it's the theater situation. That doesn't affect me at all. And Maryland's been, it has incumbency status. That's where the stadium is now. The ownership owns the land. It's not the most exciting place, but PG County is working to build their own Navy Yard type scenario, the way like the Nats have, where because that's the whole goal, is to have the stadium come there and then to an area that needs to be propped up. Then that becomes like a central hub and for people to come and eat, drink, etc. It's a football stadium. I don't know how that much is going to happen, and obviously PG County people, I'm sure, would be thrilled by it, or people who live in DC near that area. For everybody else, I don't know. We'll see. That's what made DC the Cap One and Nats Park so great. It's in the city, at the more centralized location, and it obviously revitalized those parts of town. I've always also been somewhat skeptical that would do the same thing for that part of DC, because even though RFK is close, I'm saying with air quotes, to Capitol Hill,
sure,
it's not that close. You could drive, but not walking. I don't think it's that big of a deal. So to me, it doesn't quite make sense on top of the money. But yes, the nostalgia pull is pretty significant, to say the least, and especially when the owners are people who were fans of the team back when that stadium and that site really mattered. So that's why you can definitely not rule it out until it's over. But I'll stay with Maryland for until further notice.
All right, one last Commander's note before we let Ben Stanig walk here. Thaddeus Moss has announced his retirement from football on social media. I will never get tired of famous training camp / preseason names from the past reemerging years later. I could do an infinite number of naming former training camp all-hype all-stars.
What's so fascinating about that kind of deal, like we all get worked up over the draft. This guy, that guy, and you look at projections, and Thaddeus Moss was a guy that was projected like an early day three pick, like a legit player playing at LSU, Randy Moss's son. And then he slips to an undrafted free agent, and watching him get to him, you're like, oh, wow, what a steal. And then it turns out he's got some injuries. He does actually play in the league for a little bit, but there was definitely a minute. This was one of the rare ones, I would say, for me, where I was like, oh, I'm kind of buying into this. This is pretty exciting. And then, oh, wait, it's not an actual thing? Oh, sorry. Oh, that's not fun.
We need something. We need something to cling to this time of year. You can cling to the Standig Room podcast, Standig Room only. Ben Standig, of course, at The Athletic as well. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us today. I look forward to seeing you up in Ashburn here in the next few weeks.
Phillips, pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to seeing you, man. Thanks.
Awesome. There he goes, Ben Standig. We got to step aside. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. 11:20, happy schedule release day, NFL schedule release day. We got, first off, I haven't congratulated Stubb yet, trivia champion.
Thank
last
you.
Night, bringing
Thank
home
you.
The title. Well, you want to share, like, what was the final question? What was the winner?
Yeah, it's a wager for the final question.
Okay.
You can wager up to 20 points.
Did you know you were winning going into it?
We were in third.
Oh.
Down five. But we've never not wagered 20 points.
Smart.
It doesn't matter. We're going for first every time.
I like your team.
And then it was rank the media franchises by highest grossing.
Okay.
And so, and they gave us Pokemon, Spider-Man, Dora, and Friends.
Dora, Friend, and Pokemon and Spider-Man were,
yes,
the, were the ones?
Those were the four.
So Spider-Man feels like it would be number one.
No.
Pokemon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pokemon is the number one ever.
Well, those video,
of all franchises,
those video games go for like $60 each.
Yeah, well, it's the merchandise that gets you.
Really?
Because the top three is Pokemon, Hello Kitty, Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh?
It's the third highest grossing media franchise of all time.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's good trivia, right? But that's how you become. That's yeah. how you become a
that's
champion.
How you get, that's how you get a free round of beer.
That's how you get a free round of beer. Yeah, even though you don't like beer.
Nope. I chug too.
You got to.
Didn't feel good about it on the walk home.
Yeah, but when it's free,
yeah, it's
and
free.
You're the winner.
Yeah.
You your other option is like to spray it around champagne style.
Well, it was like in a cup.
Yeah, that's so gonna make that.
That's
gonna make that harder to do. Dump it Gatorade style on the winning coach. Just, you know, make sure you have a great celebration after your trivia win.
Yeah.
Okay, I told you we got to be on our toes. NFL schedule release day.
Any moment.
Here's your news. We've got Christmas Day, Chiefs-Steelers. So
all right.
I'm going to roll this back for you. There are implications here.
Okay.
The implications are both those teams have to play the Saturday before Christmas now so that they can play on Christmas, which is the Wednesday. Ravens-Steelers the Saturday before Christmas, which is a big marquee game.
Of course.
Every year on the schedule. And it'll be the, we don't know who the Chiefs will play, but they'll play somebody. Big marquee games there. That day, Saturday, December 21st, is the first day of the brand new college football playoff. They had scheduled a triple header that day. Three games launching the new college football playoff. The NFL is going to counter program with Steelers Ravens.
Wow.
That's not a gesture of friendship,
no,
stuff.
It's not.
That is not, there's room for everybody in this sandbox. That is, we see you trying to take a portion of this sandbox and we are going to hit nuclear weapons at you.
Like, I'm going to want to watch that Ravens Steelers game.
It's
a bit more than, unless Tech is in the playoffs, which I don't think is going to happen.
I'll just tell you right now, I'll spoil the ending. Steelers-Ravens will demolish whatever college football game is on.
Ooh.
It will not be particularly competitive. Even if the Russell Wilson wheels fall off, even if they are 4-10 going into that game, it won't matter. That game will crush the college football playoff in the ratings.
Yeah, Week 17, Ravens playing no one against the Steelers was still one of the best games of last season.
Exactly. Exactly.
So,
and yeah, so they intentionally put two of their biggest games up against college football trying to moderately encroach on their territory a little tiny bit. They're sending a message there. That's the brushback
yeah.
pitch. They're throwing 101, and they're not trying to hit the batter. They're just getting the batter jump back a little. Just you need a little more room on the plate there. The days of the NFL playing nice with college football are long gone. College football's got to figure out this whole scheduling thing too, because right now they can't play weekend playoff games in January because it's NFL playoffs. They've expanded the NFL playoffs. They play all day both days.
Right.
They just know they can't do it. So they staked out this one Saturday in December, and the NFL was like, no, we're not.
No, we want that one too.
We want that one too. We're not. Right now, the college football semifinals will be on a Thursday night and a Friday night in January. That can't be anybody's idea of a good time.
No. Now,
they've already got their money. They've already got their TV money. But you're telling me you're expecting fans to fly across the country to these games on Thursday nights in early January, coming off of the Christmas vacation, the New Year's vacation? The other thing about that is fans don't want to attend a semifinal game because they want to attend the championship game.
Right.
You're not flying somewhere to attend a semifinal game because you're saving the money for the one that. If you show up and they win, you're like, oh, we got to do this again. If they lose, you don't want to be there anyway. I'm calling it right now. Those games are going to be very cheap tickets to those semifinal games.
Starting to see why the playoffs were so small in college football.
There you go. Well, you are Patriot League. We're big Patriot League football. Nobody gives you more Patriot League cover. We can't say that. Can't say that because Bob Black's got a show. But Bob Black probably has the number one Patriot League coverage.
Number two Patriot League coverage in Richmond.
Top five. Top five Patriot League football coverage in Richmond until VCU basketball starts, at which time we issue no promises on the amount of Patriot League basketball coverage we will Patriot League football coverage we will provide. No basketball. You are still in the A-10 for basketball. We're still good on basketball.
Still
A-10 basketball. Still good there. What we've got, though, UVA picked up a commitment this morning, and I'm more interested in the tweet than the commitment. This is Jeff Borzello. He's one of the ESPN college basketball reporters. Kansas State transfer Day-Day Ames has committed to Virginia. His agent, Jack Lieb of Fraction Sports, told ESPN.
Of Fraction Sports.
We're still just, these college kids now have agents that are leaking the news, like Adam Schefter style. This has escalated very quickly. This whole scene has escalated very quickly. We're going to stay on top of the NFL schedule leagues, but I want to talk about actual football because the Commanders were on the field yesterday. We'll play the sound clips for you. We'll tell you what happened. We'll break it all down. Let's give away Squirrels tickets before we hit the break. We haven't done it all show. Let's do it. Squirrels are back in action tonight. These tickets are for two Wednesdays for tonight. 14 days from now, it's Wednesday, May 29th. Two tickets to the Flying Squirrels game. Squirrels are taking on, I don't know who they're taking on because I can't read. It looks like it says Erie. Does it say Erie? It says Erie. Squirrels, Erie. Can't stand the Seawolves. Hope the Squirrels win that one. Can't stand. Megan was in here smack talking Erie the other day. All right. Let's give the number. 833-804-0910. Get your phones out. I'll give you the number one more time. 833-804-0910. Two tickets, Flying Squirrels, on the 29th against Erie. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, at 105.1 FM. Sometimes it's hard to tell if I'm being sarcastic, if I'm in, if it's a bit, whatever. I get that. Yes, I'm making a bit out of schedule release day and the attendant excitement. But also, yeah, I get a little fired up for the schedule because I've been waiting for it for so long. I'm a little ready for
Sometimes when I get bit excited for something, it turns real.
That's the best way to put that.
It turns
it
real.
It started as a bit and then it turned into real, genuine, absolute excitement. The other thing is the 8 o'clock doesn't matter because they have the 3-hour TV show, but at 8 o'clock they put the whole thing online so you can look at it. It's not like the bracket where they reveal it slowly.
But you hope, I guess, for more Titans things where they do a fun for themselves.
I don't think I shared the other fun thing about that Titans video back in the early segment. They spent six figures. I know this from people who work there. They spent six figures making their schedule release video that year, and it's not that one. They have legitimate like country music stars, like B-list country music stars playing in front of, like, they staged the whole thing. Yeah. It was a whole production. There's a whole video, schedule release video, of the country music stars like announcing it at the Grand Ole Opry, and then 2 hours after the schedule release video, the social team dropped that one, and that one just shattered the viewership records of all the other ones immediately. As it should, because the bachelorette party is trying to identify NFL logos. It's the best schedule release video that's ever been done. The Chargers win every year, by the way. If you want to go down the rabbit hole, the Chargers do a very good job every year.
All right.
Something to keep in mind.
Okay.
Last year, the Commanders had their players like smashing electronic equipment that revealed the names of the opponents, if I remember correctly. We'll see what they come up with this year. Everybody's got to do their video, though. 8 o'clock, everybody's got to drop the. You figure out the good ones rise pretty quickly.
Yeah, you'll see them.
Chargers is where you want to go, though, if you want to go down the schedule release all-time great video rabbit hole. But here, how it works is the TV state networks pick first. So the TV networks make three lists. They call them the A games, the B games, and the C games. The A games are the games that they want. The B games are the games like, yeah, and the C games are like, if you made us, we would telecast that. Uh-huh. And then everybody sits down and they give out. They schedule the best games first. The ones that are like whatever this year's, and almost always it's going to be Cowboys against the AFC. Whatever AFC team the Cowboys are playing this year, that's going to be the one. Those will be the first ones coming up. Or like when Brady went back to New England, that was the one. So they write that, you know, we're going to do that in week four, whatever it is. So Cowboys this year have the Ravens in the AFC and the Bengals. So Cowboys-Ravens is probably going to be the game that everybody writes down. That means they have Cowboys-Steelers as well. So you'll start with, like, Sunday Night Football gets Cowboys-Ravens, Fox gets Cowboys-Steelers, NBC gets, and all that. And then the computer makes the rest of the schedule on top of it.
How did Germany end up with such a bad hand then? With Giants-Panthers?
Well, Germany's gotten a really good hand 2 years in a row.
Okay.
Germany's gotten great games. They got Brady 2 years ago, and last year they got Chiefs-Dolphins, and the Dolphins ended up being spectacular.
Okay.
Yeah. So Germany's on a two-year heater. Both of those games have sold out and been like big events. I think they need to figure out what a dud game is going to do in Germany.
Okay.
Right, because you need to figure out if you can sell out anything. Or are they only selling out because they've sent Brady and Mahomes in back-to-back years?
Okay, we're testing the waters.
We're testing the waters. London's at that stage now. London sells out anything, so they get exclusively dud games. No point in juicing it up if you're not getting.
And that's why we got a good one for Brazil.
Right.
All right.
First one. We'll juice.
Okay.
All right. Since we're in the weeds, and since this is an area of I'm semi-fascinated / educated about, it's the first NFL Friday game in decades, because
Black Friday last year.
Yeah. So the early in the season, the NFL legally cannot play on Friday between the end of week one and Thanksgiving. Black Friday is the first Friday they can play on. They made a deal with Congress a long time ago when they were making these TV deals to get their antitrust exemption that they will not play on Fridays because it's high school night between September and Thanksgiving. And so they're taking the game to Brazil, which I guess that exempts them from their promises because they're in Brazil and not America.
But they are TV broadcasting in America, aren't they?
It's on Peacock. It's not on TV. Yeah.
Oh.
Right? Wait, all the loopholes. We're driving through all the loopholes here. It's not on TV and it's not in America.
What if Netflix buys Friday Night Football?
It sure feels like we're testing the waters, right?
Like, 'cause then you can just do that every...
When the NFL stomps on the college football playoff, my first reaction is to laugh. Like, haha, like, take that. And not like I'm sympathetic to either side here. They're both greedy.
Yeah.
If the NFL were to stomp on high school football, I think that'd be a bridge too far. A little too sacred there, right?
Yeah, they're not taking your views here. The high school in person.
But you have to leave something sacred. High school football is on Friday nights. Coach and Gary are on the fan, calling a game. People go out to games if they want to. I would be against a Friday night NFL package for that reason. Just feels like a slap in the face of everything the NFL says it's for, you know, developing football among generation, football is family, and the slogans and all those
things. I still think they'd do it.
Look, if the money's there, they're going to do it. We've learned that. They're going to play. And after all this, me complaining about the Christmas on a Wednesday because the teams that play are going to get an unfair advantage, my team, the Kansas City Chiefs, is in that game. It will be a monster advantage for them. They've got a free bye week coming into the playoffs now, essentially. Monster advantage for them. All right, back to the field. Mini camp. 100% attendance yesterday in Ashburn. Here's what our guy, Dan Quinn, had to say about every single player showing up.
I think it shows how important it is. They know they're starting, you know, a new program together, new offense, new defense, new special teams. And so no one wants to be behind, you know, and have anything that would, you know, leave them any space as we're competing going forward. So I'm not surprised that knowing this group as I do, their connection, their chemistry together, that's a big part of it too.
I was trying to think if there were any players who could have gotten away with missing this one. First OTA with a new coach, new coaching staff. Like, it would be an ultimate power play. Like, y'all can't touch me. The two I've got, Terry McLaurin could have missed yesterday. And they would
have.
He's
not that kind of guy.
But he's not that kind of guy. I think Daron Payne is number two. John Allen's on a very tradable contract and is at the end of the run. I don't think he could get away with it. Payne is. And he essentially has a job that did not practice yesterday, being gigantic and swallowing up offensive linemen, because it was non-contact.
Right.
I think Payne could have got away with not being there yesterday, too.
If Chase Young was still on the team.
He wouldn't have been there. Yeah. That's an easy one. Now, he wouldn't have been on my list of guys who could miss, but he would have missed anyway. Yeah, absolutely. He would have missed. Yes, because that was why they had to move on. He thought he was bigger than the team. And yes, it's an optional practice. Yes, legally you don't have to be there, but unless you're fully established as you will play every down, that's where we're at here.
Right.
That's what you get. Let's play Cliff Kingsbury as well here. Because you know I'm fascinated by Cliff Kingsbury. And, of course, he's working with Jaden Daniels. That's one of your major subplots of this year's offseason. Here's Cliff Kingsbury, offensive coordinator, on working with the new quarterback.
Just everything he does is intentional. He has a plan for studying, has a plan for practice, has a plan for watching film. Like he knows what he wants to be and where he wants to go. And to be that young and come in there with that mindset is really encouraging.
I think you've had a weird dichotomy on Jaden Daniels, because even before the draft, when you talk to people close to Jaden Daniels, LSU people, scouts, people who had put in the work, one of the things they always emphasized was this guy puts in the work. This guy's first in the building. This guy cares. This guy studies hard. The other competing storyline you had running was, you got to watch out for the mom. He's a bit of a diva. Whatever was coming across, like, he's not happy he's going to Topgolf. All of those, like, competing storylines. And I'm not telling you both can't be true, but I'm telling you the first one is true. This guy's a hard worker. It's the first thing that struck Cliff Kingsbury. This guy is a hard worker. He's going to put in the work. If it doesn't work, it's got nothing to do with how hard he's working. It's just that it's a really hard league to win in. All right, one more. Let's sneak in Sam Cosmi, because I love me some Sam Cosmi, best offensive lineman on the Washington Commanders. Maybe the only offensive lineman holding his starting spot for sure between then and now. Right, we got a lot of dust to settle. Andrew Wiley's probably going to start at right tackle. I'm not thrilled about that, but I've made peace with it. But everybody else, this thing could cycle over. Here's Sam Cosmi, yesterday's minicamp.
Today, for example, I'm in my three-point stance, and I'm pulling, and Bobby Wagner goes, hey, watch, he's pulling. I'm like, what the heck? You know, like, how did the heck? I was trying to disguise that. And I went up to him, hey, what'd you see? You were leaning. You know, stuff like that. It's great. So little things like that. So, yeah, that's things that I'm noticing and enjoying.
Sam, I've heard you say open communication with the players and the coaches a couple of times now. Was that missing previously, and what kind of a difference does that make?
Yeah, I mean, that was missing a little bit, I would be honest with you. You know, when it comes to this game, you always hear it's about the details. It's about the inches. It comes down to inches. So how do you do that? If you're able to communicate across the ball or across with your coaches and being like, hey, I'm on the field, I'm experiencing this, you're visualizing it, how can we communicate to be like, hey, how can I put myself in the best position to win a block or to make that catch or to hit that hole right, you know, like, or make that tackle. So, like, all those things, being able to communicate across the board is just huge.
I think there's going to be the focus on the first part of that, the part of like, oh, we didn't get that last year. But just competent coaching is going to take this team so far out of the gate. And add in Bobby Wagner as an on-field coach. Love Sam Cosmi getting tips from Bobby Wagner at yesterday's practice.
Yeah, it really sounded like that initial was like, oh, a coach.
Yeah.
he noticed my form.
I'm being coached with pointers and everything. It's amazing what that will do for a football team. All right, we got to step aside. Crosstalk with AWOD after this. It's the Wednesday edition. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. I only saw the final from this Mystics game. It's on the TV now. I didn't realize just how close they were to winning. They were actually really close to winning. Had the ball down 16 seconds left.
I mean, they were ahead in the end of the third.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I saw that, and I saw they like lost by 7 or whatever. I was like, ah, whatever. Whatever. My official stance on the Washington Mystics until they get good and we start caring about the Washington Mystics. Stubb's been producing today. Thank you, Stubb, for waking up early
Happy
for
to help.
Us, making some radio magic. Couple breaking news items before we get to Crosstalk. Donovan Mitchell be out for the Cavaliers tonight, game 5 against the Celtics. That should just about wrap that one up for Boston as we wait and see if the Knicks can finish it off in Indiana in Game 6. This one from David Teal. I think he's down in Amelia Island at the Ritz-Carlton at the ACC meetings. There's worse gigs to have than that. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips says he expects the league's presidents, the ACC presidents, will vote on settling the House antitrust case next week, which means that the deal as proposed, revenue sharing arrives in college athletics starting this year, a pool of $21 million per school that the schools can pay directly to the athletes out of the TV revenue money. So the change comes slowly, then it comes fast. That's a big one right there. They're in business now. This isn't amateur sports anymore. If they got a $21 million salary cap, so to speak, every year to spend on these players coming out of their budget each year. With that in mind, we got 4 minutes left in today's program. That's just enough time for a delightful edition of Schedule Release Day Crosstalk with AWOD. You just called my attention. I must have missed this last year. You ranked the schedule release videos last year.
Yeah, I went through every single video because I worked as a video editor. I actually worked for the Skins at the time.
This is no small commitment. These are like 3 minutes each, generally speaking.
Oh, some of them were eight. You know, and that actually went into my judging. If it was over 5 minutes, I docked you little points if I lost interest, you know.
It's hard to keep interest in a schedule release for eight minutes.
I rated them based on the editing skills, number one, because I'm an editor. I want it to be smooth. Number two, any celebrities in the building, right? Star power.
Yep.
And then number three, the joning. The jokes, because the best ones for me were last year, like the Cleveland Browns did an animated bit where everyone ran into the ring and faced off against the Browns. And first came in the Steelers, right? Then the Ravens. And anytime someone came in, the announcers would just make fun of that team. And it was so great. It
wrestling
was really
style.
Well done. Wrestling style, right?
That's a good yeah. Peyton Manning did an office spoof for the Broncos.
For the Broncos, yep. That was a big star power one. I thought the Panthers had a really cool bit where it was like the NFL script was released and they were going to do a play for it and things would go wrong and then the schedule would get released. And then, of course, the Nashville one with Tennessee was the winner, but it really wasn't great editing or anything.
Party.
They just got lucky that they ran into a bunch of blondes.
The content was so good, it overcame the editing there, yeah. For sure. There's no practical way to do this, but honestly, schedule release day should be all the videos staggered. Because they all... I reload Twitter at 8 o'clock, and there's 32 videos there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where to start. Maybe a staggered release of the videos. Put them on TV. Give them like an Oscars-style rollout.
The problem is that not everybody cares about every team's schedule, right? Like you care about every, your team's
but
schedule.
But I care about every team's video.
Yeah, right.
But I think then if you're a late video, you're mad because then you're not getting as much. People might be kind of bored by video 25 and kind of turn off the channel.
This goes back to my schedule release plan that I've been touting for years now. One game per hour all week long. Every hour, we drop a new game.
I like watching the videos one by one and seeing who's got like Key and Peele writers in their building, right? Because some of the stuff is really clever. And then, for example, you had the Cardinals last year who I was nice enough to give them a 0.5, probably deserved a 0. It was just Kyler Murray tossing the football with a teammate. Anytime they caught it, they released one of the schedules.
Will you be ready for tomorrow? Like, will you be able to watch them all tonight?
I'm going to watch them all tonight.
This is not a multi-day project.
No. Well, I actually had to...
Can you
It went till almost midnight last night. You know,
can you flag them for me? I'm not prepared to commit to 32 of them tonight. Maybe you could flag some so we can...
I'll send you the ones that are 4 or above. 4 out of 5 or above.
I also want zeros.
Oh, you want zeros too? All right.
I can commit to that tonight.
Yeah. No, like that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
So
can we fire up the group chat tonight?
Yeah, I will have it on. I will make a ranking as well.
Yeah. I like it.
So schedule release video breakdown tomorrow on AWOD Radio, MP on the mic, Crosstalk, all of that. I like that. The Commanders seem to have put more resources into their operation. I'm thinking of the video that they made with Daryl Green. Him announced at the jury. Like, they seem to be at least acknowledging these things matter maybe more than in the past.
I need to let Stubb know, though. Anytime there is use of AI... We docked three or four points.
That's like a zero, basically.
Right? Like
by
the,
CAI.
The,
you didn't need to tell me that.
Was it the Lions did that last year or the Colts? And I was like, are you kidding me?
The Chargers, the one that I said I loved, was anime.
Yeah, and they did anime again the next year, but a different style of anime.
Oh, that's tight.
Yeah.
It was really... You're not docking that.
No.
Okay,
that was, they ended up with a 4 out of 5 last year, the Chargers.
Just to be clear, that's really good. We got to wrap this up. Back tomorrow, we're giving away more Squirrels tickets. AWOD's got Squirrels tickets live and local, noon to 3, AWOD Radio. Up next, this is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.